When I was a boy growing up, we would go visit my grandparents every summer, like most families do. And I remember I really enjoyed going to my grandparents because my grandparents would let me get away with anything. They would let me do whatever I wanted to. I never got in trouble. They would threaten it, but I knew they would never actually follow through with it, with more than just sit in the corner and think about it for 5 minutes or something of that nature. So I really enjoyed going to my grandparents in the summer, but there were other times when I would go, my parents would go along, and I didn't enjoy those as much because they seemed to think that I needed to do work for my grandparents when I was there. And so we would go to my grandparents' house, and my granddad on my mother's side had a huge flower bed in his front yard, huge flower bed. It stretched all around the house. It went down by the pond. It was massive. It was really pretty, and I hated it because when we went there, I knew if my parents were going along, I was going to have to go pull the weeds in that flower bed. And that was not a 5 minute, 10 minute job. That was an hour after that job. I remember getting around to the corner of the house and sneaking off towards the woods trying to get out of it. And somehow my mom and her mother radar would sense it and come out there and find me and put me back on the job. And I'd get back to pulling weeds. I understand why parents get kids to pull weeds, because pulling weeds is not enjoyable. Pulling the weeds from the garden is not something that we like doing. No one likes to pull weeds, I don't think. There might be someone out there, but the majority of us don't enjoy pulling weeds, but we do enjoy having a nice garden, don't we? Whether it's a flower garden in the front yard or if it's a garden for produce in your family and the outside also, you want a good, pretty, nice garden, but you realize that it takes work to get it. And part of that work is pulling those weeds. In Galatians chapter 5, as Michael read for us this morning, Paul talks about the spiritual garden, and he lists for us the kinds of the fruits of the Spirit. And we know these fruits of the Spirit. We've sing songs about them as we're growing up. We've learned them in Bible class, all the fruits of the Spirit, and they're things that we like to talk about: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, patience, self-control, all these good, wholesome things. And I think everyone wants these things. Everyone wants to be growing in these ways. But before he lists the fruits of the Spirit, Paul gives another list. And I understand why we didn't learn a song about this in grade school and Bible class, because it's not as pleasant as the fruits of the Spirit. This list doesn't often get talked about like the other one does. It's called the acts of the sinful nature. It's a much different list than the other one we talk about. It talks about spiritual immorality. It talks about jealousy, idolatry, selfishness, drunkenness, anger, and so on and so forth. And so you see why we kind of tend to avoid that list, because it's not nearly as enjoyable as the fruits of the Spirit. But Paul's making a point here. He's making the point that sinful nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit. Sinful nature goes against the Spirit of God. Sinful nature wants the exact opposite of what God's Spirit wants in our life. And here's the idea he's trying to get across to us, I think. You can't grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life until you pull the weeds of the sinful nature. When we pull the weeds, we have a tendency to just pull the weeds that we can see. We go out and we see the ones that are sticking up that are fairly tall, and we know somebody can see those from the road if they drive by. So we tend to pull those, and we get the ones that are on the surface very quickly. But the problem is some weeds can grow roots 6 inches deep. And if we're only pulling the weeds that are on the surface, we're not getting the job done. And eventually, those weeds are going to come back. They're going to grow again. They're going to appear once more in our life. And I think we tend to approach the sinful nature the same way. We look for the ones that stick out, that are unpleasant for others to see, that might not make others like us very much, that might ruin our reputation to a certain degree. And so we pull those on the surface. But there's things growing deeper in the soil that might not be seen by the people we come in contact with every day. But they're there. And they're growing. And eventually they're going to rear themselves up to be seen also. And so we have to dig deep to pull the weeds from our life if we want to eradicate them from the way we live. You know, one of the things we know, or have to know in order to do this, is what a weed looks like. We have to know what the weeds look like that we're trying to get a hold of. Some of the weeds in the garden, some of the weeds in your front yard are pretty to look at. Kids love going and looking at a field full of dandelions because they're pretty. They're nice to look at. But dandelions are weeds. And if we just let those things go on and we call it a flower, it's still a weed. And if we leave it unchecked, It continues to grow, and it continues to take over, and it will kill any fruit that we try to produce in our lives. So most of us want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control and all these good things. And so in order to get those things, we need to go back and look at what's there in Galatians 5 before the fruits of the Spirit. We need to get down in the dirt and pull the weeds that are involved in our sinful nature so that God can allow the fruits of the Spirit to grow abundantly in our lives. Now, for some of us, this is something we need to think about harder than others. But I think it's something we all can apply to our lives. I think we all have things we struggle with. I know we do because we're human. We all have issues. We all have temptations. And yours is different than mine, but it doesn't make mine any worse than yours or yours any better than mine or vice versa. They're bad regardless of what they are, and we need to get rid of. So I want you to imagine, if you can, a garden in your backyard. I want you to look out your back window, maybe some of your kitchen or out the back door, and I want you to see a garden. And in that garden, all you can see are weeds. It's infested with weeds. They're growing everywhere. You got every kind of weed there is in Tennessee growing in that garden in your backyard. Now, for some of us, this isn't much of a stretch. If you go look in my backyard, you can probably find most weeds that are growing in the state of Tennessee. They're out there. And so you have these weeds that are growing in your yard. And I want you to look at this, a garden that you've imagined. You're looking out here and you see this garden and you think, I'd really like to do something with that. You know, I've always wanted to grow some tomatoes for my family. So when we sit down at dinner, we can have freshly sliced tomatoes for dinner. That's something I've always wanted to do. And so you decide this is going to be the year. This is the year that I'm going to go and grow these tomatoes. I'm going to do it. And so you go to the store and you buy tomato seeds. I assume that's how you grow tomatoes. I've never done it. I'm not real sure. But we'll say you do. And so you go buy tomato seeds and you're excited and you get back home and you go out to that garden and you start planting those tomato seeds. Man, you get out there and you work hard. You put them all out there. You get them all prepared, all planted in there. And you spend the next 3 or 4 weeks watering that garden and the sun's shining bright. And it's got full sunlight just like the little package of seeds said it should. And you keep watching it. And week after week, you go out there and anticipating something and you see a little stub start to come up. You see a little vine start to grow and over time that vine gets a little bigger, but it never produces any fruit. Those tomatoes never come in. You just have a small vine growing out there in the garden. And you wonder why. You check it out. You say, I had the seed. The seed was good. I watered it like I was supposed to. It got plenty of sunlight. Everything was done the way it was supposed to be done. Why didn't I grow any tomatoes in my garden? Well, I think we know the obvious answer here is we didn't pull the weeds first. And if you don't go out there and prepare the ground, if you don't go out there and do the things that are necessary to create a soil that is good, that is optimal for growth, those weeds are going to take over. And no matter what we try to plant in that garden, it will not grow because the weeds are stronger. The weeds are more powerful. The weeds will continue to choke it out and take away what it needs in order to be productive in our gardens. And I think that's what happens in many of our lives. I think that we look at our lives and we don't necessarily like what we see. We don't necessarily think that what we're looking at is good. Sometimes we even look at it and say, my life's a mess. We see an area that we want to work on. We see something we know we need to do better with. It's something that we've struggled with for a long time. And so we decide we're going to do things differently. We have good intentions. We mean well. And we even ask God for help. We go to God in prayer and say, God, this is the year that I'm going to make a difference. This is the year that I'm going to change. I'm going to be this person this year. I'm going to do things differently this year. I want to be more joyful. I want to be more patient, more kind. I want to have more peace in my life, God. And so you go to God and you ask Him to help you with this thing. But the weeks come and the weeks go. And you realize there hasn't been any significant change in your life. You continue to struggle with the same things you always have. And we look back on it and say, well, I wanted to do better. I thought it was something I needed. I went to God and asked Him for help. I prayed and said, God, help me with this. Why isn't it getting any better? Why am I not overcoming these things? Well, for the same reason the tomato plant wouldn't grow. Because if we don't take out the weeds in life, if we don't remove the bad in our lives, the good cannot produce. The good cannot grow. And that's what Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 5. That's what he's trying to tell us. Before we can really grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we need to pull the weeds of the sinful nature. Because the nature, the sinful nature, is contrary to the Spirit. That's what Paul's saying. He says it in verse 17. He explains the reason why we aren't the people we want to be. He says, here's why you do the things you don't want to do, and you don't do the things that you do want to do. He says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. The reason we're not living the way that we want to, the reason we're not getting better in the areas that we know we need to, is because we're allowing the weeds to choke out our life. We're allowing the weeds to have a presence where they don't deserve to be. So Paul says the sinful nature and the nature of the Spirit are contrary to one another. They're against one another. And in the life of the believer, the life of a Christian, we have these two opposing forces battling it out inside of us. We have this match going on between the lust of the flesh, the things of this world, and the Spirit of God. And they continue to battle back and forth and try to get their footing and try to grab hold in our life. And the only way that the fruit of the Spirit is going to produce is if we are able, willing and able to starve and destroy the sinful nature. And this is a simple truth, but it's one that's often missed. We are excited, oftentimes, to talk about the fruit that we want to grow, aren't we? It's exciting to make plans. It's exciting to sit down and think about what you want to do with your life, what you're going to do in the next year. It's exciting to look out on a new project and say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to make it great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. It's fun. It's exciting. It's enjoyable to make these plans. And it's not uncommon for us to go to church for years at a time and hear all about how we can do great works and how we're going to grow a lot of fruit and how we can become a more loving and peaceful and patient person, how we can have more joy in our life. But what gets skipped over in that spiritual growth, what gets skipped over as we get excited, is the realization that there are things that have to be done first in order to repair our lives to improve. There are things that we've got to take care of before we begin planning something that is new. The sinful nature, the weeds, they have to be pulled before we can do the good thing. They have to be removed before the Spirit of God can take hold in our life. So let me give you a few examples of what this looks like. What it looks like when the weeds are outgrowing the want to produce good fruit. A man goes to his counselor and he's talking to him about his relationship with his wife. And he tells him that he's going to leave his wife. He talks to him about the relationship and he says, I don't love her anymore. I don't feel attracted to her anymore. There's no intimacy. There's no romance anymore. It's all gone. It's just not there anymore. I don't feel the way I used to feel about her. I don't have that same relationship I used to have with her. There is no love. I've prayed. I've asked God for help. I've asked God to grow this love, to grow this relationship. But no matter how much I've prayed, it just seems to continue to go downhill. And I feel this way and she feels this way. And it just can't happen. It's just not going to work. We can't make it. And so the counselor and the man continue to talk. And they continue to get deeper into his life and deeper into what's going on and what's struggling in this relationship. And as they begin to talk, the counselor realizes that in this same man who wants to grow this love, there is this weed of lust that's being watered on a daily basis. And so he wants to grow this love for his wife, but he's watering this weed of lust. Now, which one do you think is going to win out? Which one do you think is going to be more powerful? Well, if you're watering the weeds of lust, they're going to choke out that attempt, that want for love. And if you don't pull that sinful desire, that want, that weed out of the life, that love is never going to grow. You're never going to get anywhere. That relationship's never going to be improved. It's not going to make a difference how much you want it if you're not willing to remove the things that you don't need in your life. So let's say we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the joy that comes from that, and you say, you know, I really want to have more joy in my life. I want to be a happy person. I want to be enjoyable to be around. I want people to like me. I want people to be excited when they see me coming. I don't want it to be something they dread. I want to be a more joyful person, and right now, that's not the reputation I have. Everybody knows me as being a down in the dumps kind of person. I'm critical, I'm cynical, I'm always in a bad mood, and I want to change that. I want to make things better. I want to get over that. I want to grow that fruit in my life. I want to plant that seed and see it develop. Okay, that's great, but what are the weeds that are holding you back? What are the weeds that are choking out that joy that could be there in our lives? Well, maybe it's the weed of bitterness. Maybe you're holding in the effects, the emotional scars of a bad home life growing up. Maybe it's the left behind ramifications of a relationship gone bad. And those things that you've experienced in your life, they've made you bitter. You can't get over them. They lead you to struggle every single day. They have a grasp on your life. And so you want this joy, but this bitterness that comes from a life experience is so strong that it chokes it out every single time. Maybe it's not bitterness. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe you talk about wanting this joy. Maybe you want things to be better. You want to be consumed by excitement and happiness, but you don't take time on a daily basis to say thank you, God, for the blessings He's given you. You don't take time to sit back and, as the song says, count your blessings and think about how great your life has been, how richly God has blessed you. And so all we can do is sit around and think about, I wish I had that. I wish I had this. I wish I was more like her. I wish I was more like him. And we get so caught up in being like and having like what others are that it chokes out any chance we ever had of growing that fruit of the Spirit that is joy. And so we allow these weeds to control our life. We allow these weeds to stop us from growing. And we can't really wonder why it's not happening. We can't really be confused as to why the fruit isn't growing. It's because we hadn't gotten down in the dirt and pulled those weeds up from the base and removed them from our lives. You see how it works? It's not something that's hard to understand. You don't go out into an overgrown garden and just start planting seeds. You have to pull the weeds first. Because Paul says the sinful nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit. You know, it's not fair for us to come one day a week or even 2 days a week to meet at church, to meet with the saints and to come together and to have this time and expect that to be enough to develop the good character traits that we want in our life. It's not fair to expect a couple of hours of worship to replace the rest of our week being filled with things that are negative, filled with things that are from the world, that are fulfilling the wrong part of our life. It's not a fair thing to do. It's not going to work. It never will. And it's something we have to realize and understand that every day I have to be thinking about this. Last year I was on the gym. I was on the treadmill at the gym. I wish it was more recent than that, but it wasn't. It was last year and I was on the treadmill. And if you've ever been to a gym, I think they're all pretty much set up the same way. They put you on a treadmill looking out a window. I'm not sure if that gives you something to chase or what, but that's usually the setup. And at this gym, I'm running on the treadmill, and I'm looking out in the parking lot. And I'm watching people coming in and going out, and you know, these guys come in that are just built like brick houses, and I'm thinking, man, how did he do that? That's amazing. And then this other guy got out of his car, and he gets out, and he's fairly overweight. He's a little short, a little round, and you know, not in real good shape. And I'm thinking, well, good, he's coming to join another short, round guy at the gym. We're going to work out. This is a good idea. So it's good. So he gets out of his car and he reaches in the back seat and he grabs a duffel bag, his gym bag, and he pulls it out and he puts it over his shoulder. And he turns to walk away and then he stops and goes back and he reaches in the front door and he reaches into what I guess the center console area and he pulls out a cup. And he starts walking towards the front door, and as he gets closer, I'm looking at him and I realize, that's a Dairy Queen cup. This guy walks up to the front door of the gym holding a Dairy Queen cup and proceeds to sit there and eat a Blizzard right in front of me. Now, I'm watching him through this window. It's probably kind of creepy if he realized how much I was watching him, but I'm staring him down as he sits here and eats this Blizzard from this cup, and he sits there and finishes every last bite of that Blizzard, and it looks good. I mean, I'm thinking, I want that Blizzard. I like this guy. He's willing to eat a Blizzard right before he comes to the gym. He has no shame. I wish I felt that much self-confidence in myself, but he sits there and eats that Blizzard, eats it all the way down, throws it in the trash can, and then he walks in and he begins his workout. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it'd be real fair to anyone, his trainer, himself, if in a month of doing this, he hasn't changed his build at all and he's upset about it? Would it be fair if he looked back and said, you know, I've been working out for a month and I haven't gotten any better. I'm still the same weight. I'm still the same shape I've always been in. We know that wouldn't be real fair because he's eating blizzards on the way to work out. It doesn't do a whole lot of good when you try to put some good in with the bad. You don't get anywhere. And so this process of trying to compare or trying to put together some of the world and some of God in our lives doesn't really get us anywhere. Doesn't really accomplish anything in our lives. We stay in the same place we've always been because we're not doing anything to grow and to make things better. We're not getting where we want to be. And so here's the question for you and me this morning. It's not a rhetorical question. It's one I want you to answer in your own heart, and I want to try to answer it for myself also. What are the weeds? What are the weeds of the sinful nature that are rooted within you? The ones that are deep down, the ones that you struggle with on a daily basis, what are they? Think about it. Take time to look back on it and think about what they are and why I need to get them out of my life. What do I need to do to make a difference? In verses 19 through 21 of Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives us a list. It's not a comprehensive list, but he does give us what he calls the acts of sinful nature. And he goes through this list, and he begins this way. He says, first of all, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. The first three deal with sexual sin. The first word deals with sex outside of marriage. It's fornication. Any sex that is not between a husband and a wife is included in this word translated sexual immorality. The second word translated impurity is what happens in our mind. It's the lust that we entertain. It's the thoughts that we entertain in our mind. It's that impurity. The third word, sensuality, is also translated in some versions, debauchery. And I think that's a better fitting for what it's talking about. This word means the idea of living for self-pleasure. Living for pleasure. It's what you wake up thinking about. It's what you go to bed thinking about. It's what you think about all during the day when you fall asleep at night. If it feels good, you do it without restraint. And so he starts off talking about these three things. And I want you to catch really quickly in Paul's list of these weeds, the sinful nature. You see, what we find here that Paul defines as a deadly weed, our culture tends to define as a beautiful flower. Paul says, any sexual relationship outside of marriage, whether it be physical or in your head or wherever else it is wrong. It's a weed. But our world tells us that's a good thing. That's a beautiful flower to grow. That's something you need to improve on and to let develop in your life because it's what feels bit normal. It's what you want. It's that third word, debauchery. It feels good. So just do it. Just go with it. And you've got two things that are so contrary to one another here. The Spirit says, this is completely wrong. This is a deeply rooted weed you got to take out. The world says, this is great. This is a beautiful flower. And so we have to be able to recognize what's a flower, what's a weed, and remove that that's not good. Remove that weed. He goes on and lists on the list in verse 20 and talks about idolatry and sorcery or witchcraft. And idolatry is worshiping anything other than the one true God. You may not have a graven image at home. We may not have something we bow down to in the mornings, but we could have idols we worship. It could be our careers. It could be parked in the garage. It could be some kind of relationship. It's anything that we replace God with. And so idolatry, false worship, will choke out the fruits of the Spirit. He goes on to list and continues and talks about hatred and discord and arguing and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension and factions and envy. And these are related to how we treat one another, how we get along with each other. Then Paul ends the list with this. He says, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And things like these is a key phrase right there. Because what he's saying, in other words, if you're thinking it, it's on the list too. And so if we're looking at that list, say, well, good, mine's not there. It's there. Paul just did specifically write it out. Anything that is contrary to the Spirit of God is on this list. And so you look at this list and you see some things that we say, well, that's pretty awful. I mean, that's pretty bad. You see some things we say, that's not such a big deal. And I think it's kind of interesting how Paul, being a brilliant guy that he was, being inspired by God, intertwined things that we look at and say, well, that's really, really bad. with some things we say, well, that's not so bad. That's not that big of a deal. And I think his point was to help us understand that it doesn't matter how we see it. It doesn't matter if we've decided in our minds or if culture's decided that some are okay and some aren't. As far as God's concerned, these are all bad things. These are all things that will pull us away from the fruits of the Spirit, that will pull us away from allowing his word to grow in our hearts. And so Paul talks about that and he says, look at these things. These are the things that are going to hurt you. These are the things that are going to pull you away. And so Paul says in verse 21, look, those who live this way, those who just are content to look out in their garden and see these things and see these weeds growing and not think anything about it, they are not going to enter into the kingdom of God. That's not something that's exciting. That's not something that's comfortable to hear. Because I think when we look at these lists, we probably see some things that in one way or another we can relate to. We can see some things that we might struggle with. And it's kind of scary to think that those could be the things that keep me from allowing the Spirit of God to grow within my life and allow me to go to heaven one day. And we need to realize that these are a big deal. Regardless of what the world believes, Paul says they're all a big deal. So he talks about pulling the weeds. But there's a more important truth for us to have this morning. Whether you're pulling the weeds of sinful nature or whether you're growing the fruit of the Spirit, it's done by the power of God. Many of us grew up in the church and many of us grew up and we missed this message. We came to church on a weekly basis and we heard a similar message that we hear. We heard, pull the weeds, grow the fruit, don't do these things, do these things. And we've heard these lessons time and time again. And every week they come to church and some people are really thinking about this and they're thinking, man, I'm trying so hard. I try to not do these things. I try to make sure I do these things. I try to walk the right way. I try to do what God's told me to and I just keep messing up. And so every Sunday they come and they sit in the pew and they feel guilty because they're not where they need to be, because they're not accomplishing the things that they've been told they need to accomplish. And it's not fair. And it's not right. And it's not scriptural. Because Paul never said, you need to fix these things. You need to do these things. You need to make sure you don't do the bad. You need to make sure you do the good. He said, these are fruits of the Spirit. These are fruits of the Spirit of God. You see, we can't do these things by ourselves. And to go home and to think, it's my job to do this all by myself. It's my job to make sure I get it right every single time, is to set ourselves up to fail over and over and over. Because God never intended for us to do it by ourselves. God never asked us to accomplish it all on our own. He wants to help us. He wants to carry the load. He wants to be the one who takes care of us. Look at verse 16, Galatians chapter 5 still. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. We can't do it on our own. We've got to allow the Spirit to lead our life. We've got to allow God to take control and to be the one who leads us in the right direction. We can't take care of it ourselves. Christianity is not a do-it-yourself approach. It's an approach where we let God take control and we follow His lead and we do what He wants us to do and we allow His Spirit to grow within our life. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, I think it goes very well with Galatians 5 and the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 3:3, Paul says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Paul writes there to the church at Galatia, he says, what are you thinking? Why do you think you can do this on your own? You couldn't get into a walk with your Savior by yourself. You couldn't get to heaven by yourself. Why are you trying to do it all on your own today? That's not what God expects of us. God expects us to allow Him to lead the way. Allow Him to take control. He strengthens us. He carries the baggage. He's there for us. He's going to carry us if we will allow Him to do so. He keeps us in the right direction. He keeps us where we need to be. Paul says, the way to live this life, the way to get where you want to be, is not to try to do it by yourself. It's not to make this checklist that you try to check off every single day and do it exactly right. And if you ever mess up, you have failed. The way to do it is to let God take control. Put your hand in His and follow Him where He's leading you. So to finish our time this morning, here's what it means to live By the power of the Spirit. Here's how we do this, real quick. Number one, living by the Spirit is a continual awareness, and it is a constant prayer. In verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. When he used that phrase, keep in step, it's this picture of taking a long walk with another individual, with another person, and being in stride with them. It's this idea of walking step by step, and you're watching them. When they take a step, you take a step, and it's right foot, left foot, and you're in step with them as you go. You continually stay by their side. And you know, like I do, the key to staying in step is to watch them, to be aware of their steps. Because as soon as you forget about it, as soon as you take your eye off of that and think of something else, you're going to lose that step. You're going to get off track with them. And so he's saying here, the way to do it, to live by the Spirit, is to walk step by step with him on a daily basis, being fully aware of what God wants in our life, continually thinking about it, aware of the things that we're doing, that we're saying, that we're thinking, and all the other things that go on in our life. It's a constant effort to follow in the footprints of Christ, to be aware of what he's doing, to be aware of our own faults, and when we mess up, stopping and saying, God, I messed up, forgive me. But it's not a moment to get down and say, I failed again. It's a moment to get up and say, thank you for picking me up when I fall down. Thank you for being there for me when I mess up. Thank you for always being willing to pick me up and carry me a little further. It's something that we need to be sure that we're thinking about on a daily basis. Number two, living by the Spirit requires filtered thinking. Filtered thinking. Paul says there are two opposing forces in our life. There's a sinful nature and the spirit. And the battlefield for these two things is our fault life. You know, you don't do many things without thinking about it first. We like to think about what's going to happen. We think about what we want to do. We think about what's coming. And in our head, in our minds, that's where this battle rages. That's where this battle takes place between the good and the bad. It's in our thoughts. Paul explains it in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So if we let our sinful nature control our minds, we're going to allow it to plant roots deep in our lives. We're going to allow it to grow weeds in our life. And the fruits of the Spirit cannot grow in that environment. So the things we do every day matter, because they put thoughts into our minds. And they are the results of the thoughts that are already there. The things we do, the things we say, the things we listen to, the things we watch. It's important to really think about those things on a daily basis. Lastly, number three, living by the Spirit means that you die to yourself. That you die to yourself. In verse 24, Paul writes, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There was an old theologian. This young man came to him. He was a very wise old man. And the young man said, why do I keep having these struggles? Why do I keep making mistakes? Why do I keep falling? If the old self was crucified with Christ, why do I continue to have these evil desires? Why do I continue to slip into this old way of living? And the old theologian said, it's because crucifixion is a long and painful process. And there's a lot of truth in that, isn't it? It's not going to happen overnight. We can't go out and plant tomato seeds and expect to come back the next morning and find fully grown tomato plants in a beautiful garden. It takes time. It takes effort. And sometimes you pull those weeds and they come back. And you have to go out there and you have to do it again. But if you stay on it, if you continue to pull them, if you continue to take care of that, put the things on it that need to be put on them to take care of them, eventually you're pulling less and less weeds. And what was once a long, difficult process is now just a couple of minutes walking through the garden. I think that's how it is for Christians. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. That's the only way to deal with this. We can't cover it up with mulch. We can't pretend it doesn't exist. We can't try to hide it somewhere where no one else can see it. We've got to pull the roots. We've got to pull the weeds so that the fruits of the Spirit can grow in our lives so that we can get where we want to be in our everyday lives. That's what we have the opportunity to do this morning, to start today. It's an opportunity to start pulling the weeds that are choking out the good we want in our life. If you're frustrated this morning because you've been trying to do things better but you continue to struggle, maybe it's time to put the doing the good things on hold for a second, and let's look back and see what we're doing wrong first. And if we can get that out of the way, the good things will start to produce on their own. The seed will start to grow because God will take control of our lives and we'll be able to produce fruit that others will see and realize that we're not like everyone else. And we're not like everyone else because we put our faith in God. It's nothing we've done. It's all through the power of God. He's made our life better. He's given us happiness, joy, peace, patience, self-control. He's given us the ability to grow a beautiful garden where once sat a field full of weeds. If you're here this morning, you have some things in your life you need to throw out, get out of the way, start today. If there's some things you're struggling with and you don't know how to get rid of and you need some help, you need some prayers, you need someone to talk to, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to treat you like family because that's exactly what we are. If there's someone here today who hasn't began your walk with Christ and you're ready to do that, you're ready to take him on, you're ready to let that seed be planted in you and begin to grow something beautiful, why don't you let us know, whatever we can do to help, as we stand and as we sing.